puppet masters almost surely have a plan. There's clearly maybe something there beyond the realm of man. And until you've thoroughly tested every last close trusted view, I find the more you think you know, the less you really do. Where would we be without THC? Cause we know they're lying to us, just don't know. Happy days are here, Higher Side Chatters. How the hell are you? Drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, and gearing up to throw some verbal stones at the shadowy puppet masters of the Power Pyramid from sunny San Diego. I'm Greg Carlwood. And folks, we all know there are many corporate concoctions poisoning our air, water, land, people, plants, and animals, and if these multinational conglomerates have their way, they'll still be posting their annual 10% growth on a dead, decaying, empty planet. Today, we're going to shine the spotlight squarely on these corporate criminals and their campaigns against humanity, because if you want to find terrorists, you don't have to go to the caves of Afghanistan. You need look no further than the New York Stock Exchange, your local grocery store, and your own kitchen sink. With me to forge this path for today's show is one of my favorite authors and yours, the legendary Jim Mars. We talked a couple months back in depth about the Anunnaki, genetic engineering, Khazarian banking dynasties, and many other aspects of the past in his book, Our Occulted History. But today we're putting our attention on the present and talking about Jim's new book, Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. These are troubled times, so why wait any longer? Here to talk about the true meat of the modern conspiracy sandwich, a god among mere mortals, Jim, my man. Welcome back to THC.
Hi, gosh, Greg, thanks a bunch. Appreciate that.
You got it, man. My pleasure.
This is a really serious topic and something that everyone, and I mean everyone, I mean, I know everybody is not necessarily interested in the stock exchange or politics or philosophies or world events, you know. But, hey, we all should be concerned about self-preservation, all right?
True.
Because what I'm talking about here and what I detail in my book, Population Control, how corporate owners are killing us. This goes beyond politics. It goes beyond philosophical debate. We're talking about self-defense. There are people at the top of the food chain who want you dead, okay? And I have to point out right away that I think almost everyone who has their ears and eyes open realize that the corporate business does not really care about morality or what's truly good for anybody. The corporations are in business for one thing and one thing only, and that's to keep the profit line up.
Right.
Okay. Now, I want to clearly make it known here that I'm not talking about corporate executives. Okay. Not the presidents or vice presidents of some of these corporations. I'm sure many of those people are good, thoughtful, well-educated people. They probably have Harvard business degrees. Okay. But you have to understand, they do not decide the policies.
Mm-hmm.
They are simply capable administrators. They are there to see the corporation run smoothly, efficiently, and that the profit line stays up and, in fact, increases. If you ask anybody in business, do you want to just keep your business right where it is and just stay there for the rest of your life? They're going to go, no, they want to grow. The whole idea of business and corporations is they got to grow. They got to keep growing. They got to get more. Okay, so now this leads to a very common idea that these major multinational corporations are just impersonal, and they're greedy, and they just don't really care about what they're doing. And I don't think that's necessarily true. Again, I think corporate officers and certainly the people and the workers that work for these corporations, they're all good people.
Mm-hmm.
And they would like to think that they're really doing good for everybody. And that's what they're told by their superiors. I'm talking about the people at the top of the food chain, the CEOs, the major stockholders,
mm-hmm.
okay, the people who actually decide policies for these multinational corporations. And contrary to a popular belief, you don't necessarily have to own 51% of a corporation to have control. For example, if you own, say, just 10% of a major corporation, but nobody owned more than, say, 8%, you're the majority stockholder, and you get to make the decision.
Right.
Okay? Now, this is who we're talking about. Self-styled globalist. That's what they call themselves, globalist, because they're interested in global revenues, global business. To them, the United States of America is just a not very profitable subsidiary, okay? Because we have environmental laws, we have labor unions, we have all kinds of impediments to these corporations just running wild. And so they just basically would like to change this whole paradigm, turn this world into a big fiefdom, where you have the slaves and then you have the masters. And, of course, naturally, they want to be the masters.
Right.
But now it gets even worse, because at the very top of these globalists, these controllers, we find that most of them adhere to eugenics, the idea of let's improve the human race, let's improve the gene pool, you know, and we need to get rid of these people who we feel like may be leaving a dirty ring around the gene pool. And believe it or not, the eugenics movement actually got started in the United States. One of the first leaders was the Harrimans, okay? And the Harrimans, who are the mentors of the Bush family, okay? A big railroad magnate who worked hand in glove with John D. Rockefeller through his railroads to totally control railroads and the transportation of oil, and had total control over the oil until they supposedly were broken up about 1909 by the Supreme Court that said, well, you've got a monopoly, and that's not right. Of course, all they did then was take Standard Oil, owned by John D. Rockefeller, who controlled just about all of the petroleum in the world, and they broke it up into 33 different corporations. All that did was, instead of profiting from his one big monopolistic corporation, now he's drawing the profits from 33 corporations, and he became the world's first billionaire. And that's who we're talking about, these billionaires, these globalist billionaires. Now, right. They want you dead, as voiced by Prince Philip, who pretty well lines it out when he wrote, "Human population growth is probably the single most serious long-term threat to survival. If it isn't controlled voluntarily, it will be controlled involuntarily by an increase in disease, starvation, and war." And now, isn't that pretty much what we see going on in the third world countries?
Right.
We have war in the Middle East. We've got starvation in sub-Saharan Africa. We've got diseases like Ebola. These strange diseases keep cropping up. And just to show that he's not kidding, at another date, Prince Philip said, quote, "In the event that I'm reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus in order to contribute something to solve overpopulation." He wants you dead, and he's not the only one.
Right.
In my book, I have quotes from many other people, and right up to and including Henry Kissinger, Bill Gates. Okay, they have bought into this idea that there's just too many people and we have to reduce the population.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've already had some people go, yeah, but wait a minute, if they're greedy corporations, and, you know, why would they want to kill off their customer base? You know, you'd think they'd want more people so we could buy more stuff.
Right.
But they don't quite understand that it's not about money. It's not about the money. It's about power. Okay, and the fewer people you have, the easier it is to control them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's about eugenics. They want to get rid of undesirables. And as I said, the eugenics movement actually started in the United States in the 1930s. Most states had eugenics laws that said if you didn't come up to their expectations of race, skin color, or bone structure, you know, that you might be subjected to sterilization laws. And, of course, this was picked up by the Germans, particularly the Nazi Party, and that was a background of the Nazi organization in Germany in the 30s and 40s. And they took it to its logical extreme. You know, we got some people here, some gypsies, some Jews, you know. We don't think they're adding to the Nordic population, so we need to remove them, but that's going to be costly, expensive, inefficient, so well, let's just kill them. Okay, and of course that led to the Holocaust, World War II, and the whole world recoiled and said, wait a minute, we don't think that's the way to go. It's not right to just go and kill innocent people.
Right.
And so the eugenics movement had to kind of go quiet. And today, though, one of the top eugenicists was Margaret Sanger, who then turned around and founded Planned Parenthood.
Mm.
And Planned Parenthood, you'll find, has most of its clinics in poor ethnic neighborhoods, okay, because they are still pursuing their agenda of trying to cull the human population. But now they can't do it overtly. They can't round you up, send you to camp, and gas you.
Right.
So what are they doing? Through their control of the multinational corporations, they're providing us with chemicals that impact on our health, both in the food we eat, the air we breathe, the cleansers, the beauty aids that we use. They are harming us through water, by chlorine, which is not good. In fact, chlorine gas was one of the gases they used in World War I to kill soldiers. And, of course, sodium fluoride. Sodium fluoride in the 1920s and 30s was sold as a rat poison. It's a poison.
Yeah.
And yet the Nazis found out that just a little bit of this rat poison, fluoride, put into the drinking water of the concentration camps kept those inmates kind of dulled down and dumbed down and kind of non-aggressive, you know,
right.
putting up with it. And so they put the fluoride in the water of the concentration camps. Well, this was learned by the Russians when they took over and attacked Germany, and they were putting it in the water of the Gulag. Okay, and then after the war, the eugenicists in the United States figured this out, and so they arranged for a couple of studies to show that between the age of 6 and 12, especially among boys, a little bit of sodium fluoride in the water might prevent a lot of cavities.
Hmm.
And they sold this to the American Dental Association, and they've been pushing it ever since, to the point to where today 70% of the drinking water in the cities of the United States contains sodium fluoride.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And yet there's been studies. There's one study of about 8,000 children that showed that the children who were in areas of fluoridation did worse on the IQ test than the children in the non-fluoridated areas,
wow.
Which means fluoride can actually lower your IQ. It's amazing. It's just amazing. In fact, now that in reflecting on all that, I might point out that a guy named Laveris, who happens to be the CEO of Dow Chemical, is on the record as saying water is the oil of the 21st century.
Wow.
And that's true. That's true. When I was a young guy, I started working in a grocery store, and if you'd come in the store and ask me, where's the water, I'd have pointed to the drinking fountain. Okay, there was no, but today you point to the aisle, and the complete long aisle of bottled water.
Right.
They want to get total control over the water, just like they got total control over the oil.
Mm.
Okay, and they're doing this by a variety of methods. One of them is through fracking. Okay.
Yeah.
The fracking is hydraulic fracturing, where you pump water under high pressure, filled with a lot of chemicals, including heavy metals and very dangerous chemicals, and you pump it deep into underground under pressure, and you even sometimes add ball bearings and all kinds of stuff to cause and create and maintain cracks within the ground strata so that they can draw out more petroleum and more gas. And the reason for this is because going back to a fellow in the 1950s called Hubert, he said by the year 2000, we're going to be running out of oil. It's finite. There's only so much. And at the current rates of consumption, we're going to have peak oil. It's going to peak in 2000. And after that, it's just going to be less and less and less. Well, it turns out that's totally bogus, okay? In fact, in 2011, 2012, oil production was higher than it had ever been, okay?
Wow.
And also, anybody tries to tell you that we're running out of oil, you give them three words: Bakken Rock Formation. the Bakken Rock Formation. That's B-A-K-K-E-N. Check it out. It stretches from North Dakota and Montana all the way up into Canada, and the experts estimate there's enough untapped oil under there to last us at increased rates of consumption for perhaps 2,000 years, okay?
Wow.
But, of course, we don't want to get into that anyway because we're choking ourselves to death on petroleum and gasoline engines and carbon monoxide that it puts out. Okay, so here's an idea, a concept that we've been sold peak oil, that oil, and we're running out of oil, which is, turns out, just is simply not true.
Yeah.
And Greg, you know what? It's the same thing actually with the whole idea of overpopulation. If you live in a big city, you get caught in the traffic jams. Are you trying to work your way through a crowd? It's real easy to buy into this thing and say, you know, there's just too damn many people.
Right.
Maybe we'd be better off if there wasn't quite so many people. But all you got to do is get out in the countryside. Better yet, just try to drive through West Texas.
Yeah.
There's miles and miles of miles and miles. And so it's been estimated. When I first saw this, I thought, no, that can't be true. But it is. Today, the world population stands at about 7.5 billion souls, and if you allotted 1,700 square feet, almost 2,000 square feet of living space to each of the people in the entire world, everyone could live pretty comfortably in the state of Texas.
Wow.
Wow. And if you really wanted to spread out and maybe have an acre, half acre or so for everybody so you could have a garden and grow your own vegetables and fruits and stuff, everybody could live in Australia.
Jeez.
Nobody else in the rest of the world. So you see, overpopulation is overblown.
Right.
There's really not an overpopulation problem. It's a population concentration problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody's jammed into these big cities. And again, that's not for financial gain. That's for control.
Mm-hmm. See, it's like control. Cattle in a pen.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's not only just the pen, but now you've got TV cameras and sensors and all kinds of stuff every few feet where they can actually just track you, and they have, wall-penetrating radar. They've got satellites that can read a beer can. There's no more privacy. There's hardly anywhere you can go that they can't find you.
Right. Everybody's worried about an RFID chip. Meanwhile, they're carrying around basically the same thing in their pockets with a cell phone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, they've been having massive successes, consolidating power in nearly every major industry. And it seems like now with things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, much of which is still secret, their power over the planet is only going to get even more apparent if we don't do something.
Well, the TPP basically is a corporate movement for and by the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Trans-Pacific Partnership, what little we do know about it, because although, as you said, Greg, you know, it's all, we got to pass this so we can find out what's in it,
mm-hmm.
as they did with Obamacare.
Yeah.
And but one of the things that has come out is that the corporations would be able to sue national entities if they felt like that the national laws were somehow impacting adversely their profit line.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if the United States government, in the form of our representatives, said, as they have started to do in some locations, saying, we're going to prohibit fracking here, then the oil companies could come in and say, well, that's hurting our bottom line. Those laws are null and void. And make it stick under
right.
the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It would be the ultimate world control by the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I might point out that the term fascism, of course, refers to the centralized governments in Nazi Germany and fascist Italy. In fact, the term fascism actually comes from the Italian dictator Benito Mussolini and his black-shirted fascistas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And but Mussolini himself said that fascism is not really perhaps the correct term. The more correct term is corporatism.
Ah.
And It is the blending of state and corporate power that is the very dictionary definition of fascism. And I think we see that this is exactly what's growing around us here in the United States today.
Yeah.
In fact, the only difference really between the rise of fascism in Germany and Italy in World War II and the rise of fascism in the United States today is that in Germany and Italy, the state gained control over the corporations, and it was that combination of state and corporate control that made fascism. And today in the United States, the corporations have gained control over the state.
Mm-hmm.
All right, particularly in light of the Supreme Court decision that says, yes, corporations can be treated just like individuals, and they can contribute any amount they want to a politician's campaign, and they don't necessarily have to detail where all that money's coming from. So in other words, they can buy and sell politicians. And this is exactly what's going on in this country.
Yeah, fascism is here, and the TPP is one of the major wrappers. Another thing that's going on right now that's kind of connected to this and also pretty mind-blowing is that Philip Morris, the cigarette company, is suing like 3 or 4 countries right now because they say these nations have overblown the warnings on cigarettes and limited their marketing so much that it's hurt profits. And that's something the TPP wants to set in stone, that a country can be sued for making laws that get in the way of a company's profits. It's crazy. And in this case, it's just a nation trying to protect its people with a fair warning. But you can't be doing that anymore, I guess.
Exactly. And see, that's already happening right now. But see, they're running a risk there because they sue, Philip Morris sues, you get in front of a jury, you can probably effectively show that cigarette smoking is harmful and can cause cancer. And so a jury might actually say, well, you know, we think this is in the best interest of the public, so sorry, you can't sue the government, and they can keep putting warnings on the cigarette packages.
Right.
But if the Trans-Pacific Partnership goes through, and all of a sudden you've got a corporate-run structure, they're going to say, well, no, you can't do that because it's impacting our bottom line, and the trade agreement people are going to go, yeah, that's right, and that's the end of that.
Yeah.
No more protection for the population.
Right, and we are right on that line of tipping over to that really scary place where corporations just have zero red tape or obstacles to the total rape and pillage of the planet.
Exactly. And again, it's not that a corporation in and of itself is evil, okay? I mean, think how many people work for a corporation, and most of them are good people and want to do good. But it's the owners, the people who actually make the decision. And as I say, they are not only greedy, graspy corporatists. They want to thin the population, as they have codified in the Georgia Guidestones.
Right.
That monument in Georgia, which they said this is a guide to a more rational world. And their very first admonition is maintain humanity at the level of 500 million people. For to be in harmony with nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds all new agey and grand and good, but wait a minute, there's 7.5 billion of us on this planet. What do they expect to do with the other 7 billion? And even more importantly, who's going to decide what happens to that 7 billion?
Right. Those are scary questions. And, of course, the medical establishment is a big part of this campaign to thin the herd. And a stat you have in the book that I thought was pretty telling is that apparently the American medical system itself is the third leading cause of death in America next to heart disease and cancer. And that comes right from the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty ironic, isn't it?
It is. And the thing is, you have to understand that that does not include people misusing drugs or illegal drugs, all right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just normal, standard, conventional medical treatment.
Right.
The overprescription, bad reactions to certain drugs, infections picked up in hospitals, surgeries gone wrong, you know, and it's true. Third leading cause of death in the United States is just conventional medical treatment. And yet, you know, somehow we're always taught that we have the best medical treatment in the world. So it's really amazing. But I tell you, I've been looking at this for a number of years, and I know for an absolute fact that there are alternative energy systems. There's alternative health systems. For example, there's a huge conspiracy, if you want to call it, I think, going on right now in regards to cancer. Dr. Otto Warburg in the early 1930s got a Nobel Prize because he figured out that cancer cells cannot grow in a in an environment other than an acidic environment, which is sugar, you know, yellow sugar. If you can knock the sugar out of your system, and that means no breads and no pastas and no sugars, you know, cancer cells can't live, and they'll probably die. So we've had a cure actually since the 30s. More recently, there were 8 doctors in the Florida area working for a naturally occurring protein called GCMAF.
Yeah, GCMAF.
And they found out that large doses of that can reverse cancer. And in fact, they were finding out that it was reversing the symptoms of autism, as well as curing viruses and bacteria. But then what happened? The American Drug Association came in, the ADA, and raided their offices and labs, particularly looking for their material on GCMAF. And then within a few weeks, all these doctors turned up dead, suicided, or their single car accident, or, you know, one of these plausible, deniable deaths. It's really incredible. I mean, there are, this whole earth could be a garden spot for everyone, except they, at the top, they don't want that.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's that Dr. Saga is definitely very scary. But now, being called the Higher Side Chats, I have to ask you to talk to us about the medical benefits of THC and marijuana as it relates to cancer. I was so happy to see this in the book. It's pretty legit, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's another thing, by the way. They have shown, for example, at the University of Madrid, along with studies at the University of London, St. George Medical School, they found that tetrahydrocannabinol, which is THC, that's the psychoactive and chemical found in marijuana, kills cancer cells without damaging healthy cells. And so, you know, all of a sudden it's like, wow, you know, marijuana can cure cancer. And of course, this has been known for a long time. Medical marijuana, which, by the way, I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that they've already said at the national level that regardless of state laws, if you are using medical marijuana, that is now legal.
Yeah, it's really tough to know because they say one thing and yet half the places here in California still get raided, you know?
I know. Well, that's your federal government for you, you know. In fact, I can remember when California voted, the voters voted to legalize medical marijuana. The federal government, the Department of Justice said, well, the people have spoken, you know, then we're not going to challenge any of that. And within 2 weeks, they were raiding the medical marijuana laboratories.
Right.
That's because marijuana can be of such benefit, but the main thing is it can eat totally into social control.
Right.
You know, after writing about that, first off, you have to understand one of the reasons that they are now beginning to legalize it is because in 2003, the U.S. government, in the form of the Department of Health and Human Services, got a patent on medical marijuana, saying that it actually helped in many illnesses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once the government gets a lock on it, then it's okay.
Exactly.
So it's pretty incredible. But I got a communication from a fellow who'd read my book, and he said, well, I was with you on everything except that marijuana. And, of course, he's still under the conditioning that we've had ever since, you know, the killer weed of the 1930s.
Yep, yep.
He says, I don't want to be on the road with somebody who's been smoking marijuana. And I never have a chance to answer everybody I want to. I certainly want to answer him, though, to show that they've done studies, and they've shown driving studies, and they put people under the effects of marijuana, and then they've gotten them drunk, you know, within 1.10 alcohol, and then drive straight. And what they did, basically, the test was they would line up some cars and drive along, you know, one after the other, and then the one at front would jam on the brakes, mm-hmm. and they would see the reaction time. Are you going to hit the car, or are you going to react in time? The needless to say, as you would probably suspect, the people who were drunk on alcohol, you know, were like 20-25% worse than the normal drivers. You know, they'd end up running into people. The people high on pot actually were better than the people that were not on anything.
Yeah, I believe it.
I think that's because, I guess, if you get a little bit stoned, you're really into whatever you're doing. And I'm not advocating driving under the influence, not at all. You shouldn't drive under the influence of anything. But I will say this. I think I'd take my chances on the road with somebody smoking pot over somebody talking on their cell phone.
Ah, yeah, that's a great point too. Man, yeah, I believe those results. I mean, I ran similar experiments of my own in college, but those results seem to hold up. But now it's something I do try to just keep out of sight and out of mind, but realistically can be a concern. Do you think corporate, less natural GMO weed or marijuana is going to be a concern in the future, or even now, really?
Well, I think GMOs, period, are a huge concern.
Right.
It's really incredible. There is an MIT research scientist, Dr. Stephanie Sinnott, who has found that GMO, and particularly the Monsanto herbicide Roundup, which is a major ingredient, is glyphosate, and she's found that there is a direct correlation between the rise of this glyphosate funded Roundup herbicide by Monsanto and the rise of autism. And in fact, I have a chart. You can just see that it parallels from starting about 2000 or maybe even before that. Let me see here. Yeah, starting about 1990 up through the present day, you've just got this graph that just steadily climbs upwards, and it matches almost exactly the rise of autism and the rise of the use of Roundup. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's clear enough right there. But then, and GMOs, the basic problem is that there have been, you know, they've been improving crops and animals, interbreeding and mixed breeding plants and animals for thousands of years, and that's not that big a problem. But with genetically modified organisms, that's GMOs, they are actually intermixing species.
Right.
And we have no real idea on what that's doing to us. One thing that some of the critics point to, though, is the collapse of the bee colonies.
Yes.
They say that's due to the fact of the GMOs. And, of course, the problem is all of this is so new, it's such new technology that we don't have enough long-term experience to know exactly what it is doing to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that if the bee colonies continue to collapse and there's no bees, then you just knocked out a vital chain in the food supply, because the bees, of course, you know, pollinate the plants. Mm-hmm. And cross-pollinate. We do know that in the food chain, if you knock out one of the links, the whole chain starts crumbling.
Exactly.
So it's really dangerous, and we don't really know what we're doing, but we're allowing these corporations owned by people who want us dead to make the decisions. You know, that's pretty stupid.
Oh, it definitely is. And there's also a lot of concern that the pesticides they're using, they transfer right into our food supply and then into our bodies. And one major criticism of conspiracy folks is that if the elite are poisoning us, aren't they poisoning themselves? But they really aren't. And you say in the book that the elite just don't live like us. And you have a couple of good examples. Can you tell us what you're talking about there? How do the elite not live like us?
I'll give you a great example that's not even in the book.
All right.
There's a fellow who, during the Clinton administration, was the head chef at the White House, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and then he was also the head chef for a while under the Bush administration, and he wrote an article for a food magazine because some people were saying that our presidents were not eating, you know, really good food. And so he wrote and said, no, that's not right. He said, Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, is a huge advocate of GMOs and Monsanto, who happens to be one of our largest campaign contributors, and a Monsanto lobbyist is heading her reelection PAC campaign. So she's obviously in the pocket of Monsanto and its GMO progress. And yet, when she was running the White House under her husband, Bill Clinton, according to this chef, they only ate, he was ordered only to get locally produced organic fruits and vegetables, and they even had a garden on the roof of the White House. So see, these eugenicists, these globalists at the top, they want us eating this crap, but they don't do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I heard another great story about one of the Rothschilds who came to Texas some time back. He was looking into buying a yacht, a large boat down in South Texas. And when he flew in, he brought his own food and his own water, and he would not eat public supplies here in the United States. So, see, they've got themselves taken care of, but they want us to eat all this crud.
Right.
It's really just incredible. Most of the, by the way, there are 10 giant multinational corporations. Nestle, Pepsi, Mars, Kellogg's, Coca-Cola, United Associated British Foods, General Mills, and two or three more that pretty well dominate the entire food supply of the developed world.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. The consolidation is happening more every day in every possible industry. It's
exactly.
Really concerning. And they, not only are they consolidating the corporations themselves, but a lot of them have interlocking management systems. There's people, the revolving door, that the same people go through all these different corporations and just take care of each different oily appendage of the giant squid of power.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the ending of the White House chef story is that shortly after he came out and was telling people that Hillary Clinton demanded only locally grown, farm fresh, organic food for her family, while still touting for Monsanto, he died on a hiking accident, fell in a creek or something. Terrible.
Wow. Wow, yeah. He wouldn't be the first who's found themselves dead in the wake of the Clintons, is he?
Isn't that the truth? I don't know. It's up to what, 50, 75, 100, something like that.
Right. It's crazy that person can still even run for office, that they even have the audacity to not just slip into the background. They want to draw attention to their life after all the whispers and things that have happened behind the scenes?
Well, if you'll really stop and think about it, the war on terror and 9/11 and the wars in the Middle East and the food and the bad air and, anything you care to mention, it probably could track back to either the Clinton administration or the George Bush administration,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps the George Herbert Walker Bush administration prior to that, okay? And so here we go. And so I don't know of anybody who is perfectly happy and satisfied with the way this country's being run right now. No one,
mm-hmm.
okay? And yet, here we got ready to go into election year 2016, and who we got? Well, we choose another Clinton or another Bush.
Right.
By God, what's wrong with people?
Yeah.
I think it was Einstein who said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
That's
okay,
true.
Well, nobody's satisfied with what they're doing, but yet they'll all go out and vote for the same jerks that got us in this mess in the first place.
Right.
I don't get it.
I'm with you, man. And out of all the multitude of poisons, another one worth discussing is aspartame. I still know so many people, women mostly, who drink diet soda because all they see is that zero calories, but it's actually much more dangerous, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And in fact, as the public consciousness begin to be raised and more people understand that aspartame is really dangerous to you, they've started to change the name. They even catch me, I'll go in and find some drink and it'll say very low in sugar, and I'm going, oh great, just what I need. So I'll check to see if there's any aspartame in it, and no, there's not, but there's Splenda, which is the same stuff. They just change the name. So if you really want to protect yourself and your family, you've got to become aware of these things, and you've got to start looking out for yourself, and you've got to learn how to read the labels in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And if it says high fructose corn syrup or Splenda or aspartame, put it back.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for years I loved chewing gum, but now I've had to switch just specifically to Altoid Mints because everything else in that checkout lane has aspartame in it.
I know. Isn't that something? And it's the same thing with toothpaste. You have to go to a health food store and look real carefully to find toothpaste that does not have fluoride in it. And, in fact, it was a toothpaste, I think the brand name was Tom's, and it was fluoride-free, so that's what I used to buy. And then all of a sudden, I see Tom's, and it says, with fluoride. So I checked, and sure enough, Tom's got bought out by one of the big corporations, and they started putting fluoride in the toothpaste. And see, again, you know, if they bought out a company, chances are that company either was doing well or had the potential to do well. So why would they go in there and mess with it? They
right.
do it because at the top they're told to do that, because at the top these people want everybody on fluoride so they can dumb them down so they can eventually kill them.
Right, yeah. And every time someone tries to fight me on the fluoride in the water thing, I'm like, well, why not just put something completely non-controversial like vitamins and nutrients in the water? And
yeah.
It's just funny because another point about fluoride is, from what I understand, it's also a byproduct of the industries that Rockefeller and company are dominant in, aluminum and nuclear weaponry. Isn't that convenient? They don't have to throw away their trash. They just put it in our water.
That's right. But how brilliant is that? Under conventions after World War II, the corporations were by law prevented from dumping the waste, the sodium fluoride waste into the water because it would flow into the oceans. And so what they do, they figure out a way to tell us it'll stop cavities, and so they get us to drink it for
right.
them. It's absolutely brilliant. In fact, that's the whole thing, this whole globalist plot to reduce the population, it, for them, is a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
First off, you know, they are culling the human population and where they can get more and more control, keep people numbed down. And at the same time, they make people sick, and they have to keep going and get more and more of their pharmaceuticals. So they're trimming the population and then profiting from it.
Yeah. Right. It just makes it so hard to know the truth because we know the government's lying. We just don't know to what degree. We know the news media is not covering anything. So we're kind of left to our own devices. We have to believe the crazy YouTubers because they're at least trying.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And people ask me, well, you know, how can I find out the truth? And all I can tell them is they need to listen to you, Greg. They need to listen to Alex Jones. They need to listen to Mike Adams. They need to listen to any number of these alternative media people, and listen to all of them, and
right.
then go and look at some conservative sites, and then go look at some liberal sites, and then just start using that God-given computer in your head called your brain to figure out what's right, what's not, what's true, and what's not. And then once you have figured out for yourself what you think the truth is, then start sharing that with everybody around you.
Right.
Because I think most people are kind of confused. They know something's not right, but they don't know what it is. And since they don't know what it is, they don't know what to do about it.
You're right. And none of these shows are 100% accurate. None of these guests are 100% accurate at times. But, you know, my friend Gordon White, who's been a guest before, he put it as that it is the approach of witnesses to a car accident. You know, you need to get
yeah.
you need to get answers from everybody to figure
yeah.
out what's going on.
Yeah, and I learned that as a young reporter. I'd go out to, you know, chasing ambulances and go to the wrecks and stuff. And if you talk to 10 different witnesses, you know, sometimes it was amazing. You'd almost get 10 separate stories. But if you would synthesize the 10 stories, then and you find out that, you know, 8 or 9 of the 10 said the black car went through the stop sign and hit the red car, you could pretty much take that to the bank. You know, that's probably exactly what happened.
Yeah. Amen. And I think that's a pretty good point to bring us to the end of the line. Thanks so much for doing this again, Jim. You are one of my favorite guys out there. This book, Population Control, is as good as the rest. Would you like to tell them anything else more about where you can get it or anything to keep up with you before we have last call here?
Well, you can, of course, visit my website, jimmarrs.com. That's Jim Marrs, M-A-R-R-S, two R's and Marrs.com. There's my books, DVDs, all kinds of things listed. And I continually post stories that I feel like are informative and necessary for people to know that you probably are not going to see in the mainstream media. So, yeah, keep visiting jimmarrs.com. And if you want to get a hold of my books, you can find them there. But you can also, of course, find them on Amazon or any bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you got to keep up with Jim's website. That's how I saw that rocket launch. But again, always an honor and a pleasure. Do what you can do to take care of yourself out there, all right?
Okay, I'm working on it.
All right, man. Bye. Have a good one. Take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There we have it. Jim Marrs. Wow. Always a pleasure. Great, well-researched journalist who will also be speaking at the Secret Space Program Conference in Austin at the end of October. And they actually helped me book up most of my shows for October. We're going to talk to several of the speakers that are going to be there. I can't go, but anyone that is considering it, they did reach out to me and offered the listeners a coupon code. It's SSPTHC2015. SSP for Secret Space Program. Use that, and you'll get a nice little discount, which is always great. I thought the first half of today's show was very solid. I knew when I saw Jim's presentation at Contact in the Desert that this was going to make a great THC, and the book is definitely well worth your time. Pretty well-rounded. And in the Plus show, we talked about some other major cards against humanity in the Power Pyramid's poker hand. Nukes on 9/11, Fukushima, economic warfare, Jim's ideas for changing the system, Jade Helm, strange rocket launches, earth changes. It's all there, people. Believe it. I'm happy with the roster coming up in October. Again, it's mainly speakers from the Secret Space Program Conference, but all different angles, all different layers of the conspiracy onion. It's going to be a good month. The new conspiracies designs are rolling out nicely. If you'd like to see what's going on there and ways to subtly force passerbys to confront the beast, go to conspiracies.net or click store at thehighersidechats.com. And there it is. And hello, October. Don't let your kids eat too much corporate poison just for the sake of tradition this Halloween, but really, what can you do? You don't want to make your child the weird kid, even if he is the weird and healthy kid. We all knew a weird and healthy kid, and we probably don't talk to him anymore. I don't know what I'm talking about, but keep your head up, people. It seems like we did make it through September without the sky falling in on us or a full-scale parasitic overlord invasion. So you still have time to hatch that perfect plan to live a more fulfilling life outside of your corporate serfdom. That's it for me tonight. Your move, corporate owners. Your frickin' move.
Coward, it's your show now. So what's it gonna be? 'Cause people will tune in to hear another new conspiracy. Almost too much of. We thought this was low. It's bad, getting worse. So, where'd all the good people go? They're on the Higher Side Chats 'cause it's everybody's favorite show. Where'd all the good people go? He got Jim Marrs, Gordon White, and then there's Crow. They talk this and that on the Higher Side Chat, testing 1, 2, now what you gonna do? Bad news, misuse, got too much to lose. Give me some truth, now whose side we on? Whatever you say, turn on the boob tube. I'm in the mood to obey, so lead me astray. By the way now, where'd all the good people go? They locked him up, it seems, for protesting Monsanto. Where'd all the good people go? They're on the THC, my favorite show. Sitting down, new episode to hear. Wanna light a bowl, but I fear the police. Can you hear me? Can't interrupt me from this friendly conversation. Been waiting all week for THC. With the car wood, there's no hesitation. Exposing the truth, getting to the elite. conspiracies and treason. It's an excellent show. What I need to know is where'd all the good people go? Been only getting hate and fear from all the other hoes. Where'd all the good people go? Guess that makes THC my favorite show. Where'd all the good people go? They talk this and that on the highest side chat. Testing 1, 2, now what you gonna do? Bad news, misuse, give me some truth. You got too much to lose. Whose side are we on today? Anyway, okay, whatever you say. Wrong and resolute, but in the mood to obey. Station to station, desensitizing the nation. Going gone.
As you mop up the remnants of your melted mind, consider this. The high-quality, commercial-free show you just enjoyed is what we call THC-free. But you can spend twice as much time with Greg Carlwood and all his great guests by becoming a member of the Higher Side Chats Elite for just $5. And you'll get the 5 extended 2-hour episodes that come out each month. Because an honest, open-minded, and uncensored exploration into the fringe will never be brought to you by your corporate overlords, but rather must be funded by the loyal listeners willing to take that ride. So join at thehiresidechatsplus.com, and on top of twice as much show, get your own easy-to-use RSS feed URL for convenient listening on any device. Suggest guests on your member profile, comb through the archives of all the ones you missed, and continue the conversation even further on the new THC Plus Forum, where you can scratch that higher side itch in between shows with the rest of us and hold your head up high, knowing that your subscription supports a show you love, produces the free version for everyone else, and stands as a small act of rebellion against those nefarious puppet masters of the power pyramid. Treat yourself. It's time.